tonight, take my time. I want you to pray for me that the Lord will help me. The book of Job, chapter 9 and verse 20. Job chapter 9, verse 20, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Then in 25 of Job, Job chapter 25 and verse 4, how then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? I want to preach tonight on one of the most important questions in all the Bible. Here in verse 4 of Job chapter 25, how then can a man be justified with God? The Bible is a book that's filled with questions. A lot of questions in the Bible. Too numerous to mention. But this is one of the most important questions, I feel like, in all the Word of God. And it needs an answer. How then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Since we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and our iniquities like the wind have driven us away, and all we fade as a leaf, and there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible said in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible draws and explains character and the state of the unregenerate man. He's in total ruin. He's in spiritual death. His mind is blinded by the god of this world. His understanding is darkened, and his heart is a hotbed of hostility against the holiness of God. It was Christ himself that said in Mark chapter 7 and verse 21, "For from within the man out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, pride, lasciviousness, drunkenness, theft, an evil eye." All these things come from within the man out of the heart. And these are what defiles a man. You know, our generation has never seen, most of our generation have never seen their condition before God. This is why that repentance is a lost doctrine. This is why it's a missing note in modern day preaching. This is why that the average preacher today talks about faith and miracles and bodily healing and building programs is because he knows nothing of the hinlessness of his own heart and nature. My friend, when Adam sinned almost 6,000 years ago, he plunged the entire race into total depravity and spiritual death. And for 6,000 years, men have not been running to God, but they've been running away from God. If God does not cross your path with the Word of God and the gospel of His Son and the Holy Spirit of God, you will never get saved. Jesus said, I said in John 3:19, He said, they hate the light, neither come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. In John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Glory to God. I'm glad 27 and a half years ago, when I did not know the facts in the case, when I did not care for myself or nobody else, God Almighty, I pulled back the veil of my darkened soul and shined in the gospel light. Glory to God. And I've never been the same since. Hallelujah. I found out for the first time in my life that I was a sinner on the road to hell, and somebody took my place and died in my sin. I got saved by His grace. Hallelujah. I've never got over that. Man's not just crippled in sin. He's ruined in sin. Man will not come till the Spirit of God awakens him, arouses him, draws him to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If there's anything that we need preached in our day, it's the preaching of God's holy law.
Amen.
The Bible said the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Again in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul said, I was kept under the law, shut up unto the faith that should afterward be revealed. I tell you, the law is the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But when faith is come, we have no need of a schoolmaster. I say again, and the question is, how can a man be justified with God? Now let me slow down just a little. Justification is the legal aspect of our salvation. You cannot feel justification. Justification's what God does in heaven. Sanctification's what God does on earth. You miss everything else I say, don't miss this. God never justifies a person in heaven that he does not sanctify on earth. God's not in the business of saving rebels and leaving them rebels. God's not in the business of making folks holy in heaven and leaving them unholy on earth. Sanctification actually means to be set apart. And so I want to preach tonight on about three things that it takes to be justified with God. First of all, it takes repentance. God commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. But man will not repent without he's convicted. Ain't that right? One bell said, I had to repent. I said, but you didn't have sense enough till he brought you to it. Man won't repent till he's brought to repentance. And so repentance includes three things. Number one, forsaking your sins. Proverbs 28:13, the Bible said, and it is the Word of God. Don't you believe this Bible is the Word of God?
Amen.
A lot of folks, they don't care what the Bible says, you know. But you better measure your experience up by this book.
Amen.
He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall obtain mercy. The what? Repentance includes forsaking your sin. Look at the prodigal. Here he is in the far country. Joined himself to a citizen. Sent in the field to feed swine. Wound up broke. No friends. In the field, feeding hogs. But one day he came to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to rise and go to my father. And when I get there, I'm not going to say, I've not been too bad. That's not what he said. He said, I'm just going to say, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against thee. I'm going to take my place as a sinner. And I want to tell you, he did not come demanding anything. He come pleading mercy. He knew if he got anything, it would be more than he deserved. Any sinner that really gets saved, that really repents, knows if he gets any mercy at all, it's more than he deserves. But I wanted to tell you, he left the hog pen for good. Somebody said, try Jesus. There's no such thing as trying Jesus. No such thing as trying Jesus. He didn't say, I'm going up there and try it and see if I get everything I want. If I don't, I'll be back next week. He left the hogs for good. He is tired of hearing the pigs grunt. Amen. I want to tell you, before you ever get saved, you'll have to leave the hog pen. Somebody said, but what about them folks over in 2 Peter, where it happened to them, according to the true proverb, the stout was washed, returned to a wallow in the mire, the dog returned to his own vomit again. I said, well, she is still a sow, he is still a dog. You know what you can do? Now, we got some friends that's got little dogs, and you know a lot of folks like little dogs, little pets, you know. And they wash them up and pat them, give $40 to give them, get them a haircut, and put bows around their neck and pat them. They don't even smell like a dog, you know. But you let a dog bark outside, and the first thing they do is jump up in the window and bark. And the reason they do that is because they still a dog. They may not smell like a dog, and you may feed them hamburger meat and T-bone steak, but they steal a dog, and they're going to run with dogs when dogs get around. And that's what's the matter with a lot of our Baptist folks. Amen. You can't get them to sell the hell holes, the dance halls, and booze joints, because they still like the hogs. Amen. So repentance includes forsaking your sin. Then when you forsake your sin and come to Jesus, it takes in forgiveness. Nobody gets forgiven that don't repent. And God knows your heart, and God knows when your heart's turned. God knows when you take sides with Him. God knows when you're sick of sin. God sets up that godly sorrow in there. You know why I know most Baptists are not saved? They've not even quit doing what you quit under conviction yet. You quit cussing under conviction. You quit bootlegging under conviction. You quit the dance hall before you ever get saved. I believe that. A lot of these churches having dances in the basement.
Oh, Lord.
Some of them's having it up in the auditorium.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. But listen, the Bible tells us in Psalm 103 and verse 12, He said, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I put their iniquities from me.
Yeah.
Put them all the way away. That's what you call forgiveness.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is God giving up the desire to punish you. That's what forgiveness is. In other words, everybody's lost is under the wrath of God. Now get this. This God that's being preached today with this charismatic mess is not the God of the Bible. It's not the God of the Bible. They talk about God loves everything.
Come on, brother.
And they preach a one-sided God.
Yeah.
How many times have you ever heard them fellas preach the face of the Lord against them that do evil? You ever hear anybody preach on that verse? Did you ever hear anybody preach on the verse that God said, I hate the workers of iniquity? How many times you ever hear him preach on John 3:36? He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Every unbeliever, everyone outside of Jesus Christ and His atoning blood is under the wrath of God, and you're not a child of wrath and a child of love at the same time. Everybody outside of Christ is under the wrath of God. If God cuts that life off, you'll drop off into hell in 3 seconds. So what I'm trying to say, God does not get any joy in punishing sinners, but God must punish sin.
Yeah.
See, there's not only love displayed at Calvary, but there's judgment displayed at Calvary. Christ didn't only die for our sins. He died to satisfy God. God could not save one rebel, one sinner, at the expense of His character. His justice must be satisfied. Mercy is only extended to you and me because of satisfied justice. Christ went to Calvary and satisfied the justice of God. Did you ever take a day off just to look and see what God done in Christ at Calvary? Everybody needs to see this. God took your sin and charged them to His Son. And then God turned around and punished His Son for your sin. That's why God can have mercy upon you when you come to Him in Christ. Everybody that misses Christ don't miss heaven. There's no way to get to heaven apart from Christ. Have you ever seen Christ bearing your sin, paying the debt that you owed, undergoing the wrath of God? See, men done all every mean thing they could do to Christ. They spit in His face. They crowned Him with thorns. They smote Him in the face. They took the reed and beat the thorns down on His head. They nailed Him to a cross and pushed Him back up toward heaven from whence He came and said, we will not have this man to reign over us. But that's not the worst side. When men finished up and could do no more, then His Father turned upon Him. And He took our sin and went into outer darkness. And for 3 hours, under the wrath of a sovereign holy God, He suffered from my sin. And I'm saved and justified tonight because of what Jesus done for me.
Amen.
So, repentance takes in 3 things. It takes in forsaking your sin. Forgiveness for your sins. Glory to God.
Yeah.
And that's through the blood of the Son of God. Then it takes in forgetting. God forgot our sins. He put them in the depths of the sea, never to be remembered against us anymore. Hebrews 10:17, he said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember against them no more. Justification means that God declares you righteous before him.
Amen.
If I understand it right,
amen.
If I understand it right, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Then in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ of God is made unto us righteousness, wisdom, and sanctification and redemption. In other words, God in heaven, through the blood of Christ, when you exercise faith in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, recognize you're a sinner. You can help yourself under the drawing power of the Spirit of God, and with the faith the gospel's brought to you, you exercise it in what God done for you. God in heaven, look here, judiciously in the blood of Christ, he washes the slate clean, puts your sin in the depths of the sea, never to be remembered against you anymore. But it don't stop that. On that same record that he washed clean, he puts down on your account the righteousness of Jesus Christ and declares you righteous. So after what that's a saying, in heaven, if you're justified, you're as righteous as Christ is before God. The reason you are is because Christ satisfied God. Let me tell you something, God ain't looking for nothing else. God completely satisfied what Christ done. I don't understand Isaiah 53 and verse 10, but it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I mean, God actually, he loved you just like he loved Christ. If you're pleased, that means you're completely satisfied. And it pleased the Lord to bruise his son that he could justify you. What do you think about that? As far as God's concerned, there's never been anything wrong with me. Did you ever hear the little story about the fellow bought a Rolls Royce? And I don't know whether you know what a Rolls Royce is or not. I never did see but two or three, really. And I was up in Ohio, and they had a dealership there where they sold this Rolls Royce. That thing made overseas somewhere. And I'd always heard they cost more than any other car. So I seen the sign. I thought I'd stop and look at it. And I stopped and went over, and I looked on the window. It had $111,000 on the window. And I said, do you charge anything to look? And what I started to say, see, they got a so good a warranty with them. They're the best made car in the world. This old fella bought him one time. And it broke down on him on the road. And he called the company. And the company sent a limousine out there and a chauffeur to get this fella. And they picked his car up, took it to the shop, took the man over to the best motel in town, paid up his bill, fixed his car just like new, brought it back over to his motel room, and he put him in that automobile. And he went on his way, and he waited till the first of the month and got no statement. Waited 30 more days and got no statement. And he called the company. He said, you remember, a few weeks ago, said, my car tore up and you took it in and fixed it. And he said, I never did get a bill. And the man on the other end said, sir, as far as we're concerned, nothing was ever wrong with your car. And I got a good blessing there. As far as God's concerned, he fixed me in Jesus Christ. And nothing's ever been wrong with me as far as God's concerned. See, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, he said, and you are complete in him. Now, I'm not complete in your eyes. You see a whole lot wrong with me. And if I lived around you, I'd see a whole lot wrong with you. You ain't here as good as you pretend to be. You just make us think that you're real good. If I could hide around you and see you mad at the young'uns and screaming and hollering, you ain't near as good as you claim to be. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
What I'm trying to say tonight, brother, that God justifies us freely by his grace. the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And it's nothing good that we've done. It's not by your water baptism. It's not by your church membership. It's not by you walking down the aisle and shaking the preacher's hand. It's not by you eating a holy wafer and getting sprinkled in a little water. Praise God, it's by grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's nothing. Everybody don't get that away or go to hell and die. You say, well, maybe they're sincere. Well, they're probably sincerely wrong. You have to be more than sincere. You have to be made a saint. All the way you can be made a saint, you can't make yourself a saint. We talked to a brother, a man today, the preacher and me, and said, are you saved? He said, I hope I am. I'm doing my best. I've done everything I know to do. Salvation's not what you do, it's what God does. If we could just get folks to believe that, wouldn't it be a glorious time? How can a man be justified with God? First of all, it takes repentance. Next of all, it takes receiving. These easy believism crowds come through the land, but there's still scripture in this Bible that talks about receiving Jesus Christ. Now, as far as I know, receiving Him, believing in Him, exercising faith in Him, submitting to Him are interchangeable terms. All these mean the same. If you receive Him, you receive Him as Lord and Savior. John 1, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Then that means believe in Him. See, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And then Acts 2 talks about submitting ourselves to Him and bound His Lordship in Philippians chapter 2. As far as I know, that's all the same thing. What I'm trying to say to you, you must receive God's remedy, and His remedy is Christ. John 3 and verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now let me comment on that verse a minute. And as Moses lifted up the serpent for the same purpose. Why did Moses lift the serpent in the wilderness? Israelites was dipped with serpents. Moses didn't have anything to do with figuring out what to put upon the pole. He didn't figure out the plan. He sought God, and God said, make the very thing they're bit with. Put it on a pole, put it up in there. Everybody's bit. When he looks at that serpent, he'll be cured. Listen, nobody looks until first he finds out he's bit. First thing you have to learn is you need a Savior. You're bit for sin. Nobody will get saved till they become sinners. In fact, Christ did not come to save anybody but sinners. You couldn't find this Bible where God just saved anybody. He didn't say, come save just anybody. Come save sinners. If you're not a sinner, you don't need to get saved. As far as you know. Is that right? So, the man found out he was bit. He's dying. The remedy's been made. That's not one of the remedies. That's not one of the ways. That's the only way. If you're going to get cured of your snake bite, you've got to look to God's remedy. It's the same way in this day. If you're going to get saved, you've got to look to God's remedy, God's lamb that's taken away the sin of the world, and receive what God's done for you in Christ, or you've got to go to hell when you die. There's not two or three ways. It's the only way. Read in Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and all that believe in him are justified from all things by which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Yeah. I was talking to a good man up in Ohio. I think he's a good moral man. And we was talking about, and before we started, I said, now our discussion is on remission of sins. When does a fellow get forgiven? When are you born again? He said, you're born again at water baptism. I said, I can take the Bible and prove you're born again when you exercise faith in Christ. And then I asked him a point blank question. I said, can you put a man into Christ? He said, no, I can't do it. I said, then when does a man get put into Christ? He didn't know. He didn't know. He never did know. And when I seen he didn't know, I just kept twisting that sword. Amen. I said, you've got to tell me when a man's put into Christ. Who puts a man into Christ? I said, I can't put a man into Christ. You can't put a man into Christ. But the Holy Ghost puts a man into Christ. Amen. So, receiving Him takes in regeneration. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. He was saved by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. No such thing as you getting saved, not getting the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
All these guys talking about the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost after salvation wouldn't know the gospel if they made it out here on Highway 20.
Right.
You say, well, they're well educated. Well, don't you know God chose the foolish things to confound the wise?
Right.
The things that are not to bring them off, the things that are. Don't you know Ahab and Jezebel had all the seminary boys? God just had one. It's 850 to 1 ratio. Amen. Ahab and Jezebel had 850 and God just had one. You say, if that's the way it is today, it's about such. Amen. Old man Caldwell, you say, God ain't needing too many preachers nowhere. Amen. I believe that's about right. Lord, help us. Come on now. I tell you, receiving him takes in regeneration. That's the work of the Spirit. Reconciliation, that's bringing us back on friendly terms with God. We're enemies, the Bible said in Romans 5, beginning at verse 9, much more than being justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? By the death of his Son. Much more than reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also now joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. What that says is saying is God's done it. And you are rejoiced because you've received the atonement. Amen. We're complete as far as God's concerned. That means that it's already fixed and finished in Christ. When God looks at us, he looks at us in Christ and sees it all finished. We're still in the warfare as far as we're concerned. But when God gets done, he's not going to back up and wring his hands and say, I didn't think it'd turn out like this. He already knows how it's going to turn out. Aren't you glad? I'm glad he knows that's going to turn out. Nothing takes God by surprise, but everything God does surprises me, but nothing you do surprises God. You see, all his works are known to him from the beginning. He knew you was going to be here tonight before you ever discovered America. Amen? Somebody asked a question, said, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? God never has learned anything, never has forgot but one thing. He forgot what his people used to be. He forgot that because Christ done what the wholeness of God required him to do. He done that, now God's satisfied and delights in showing mercy. Amen? So receiving him takes in not only regeneration and reconciliation, but redemption. We've been bought with a price. Purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Bought from the slave market of sin. If you buy something, that means it belongs to you. Isn't that right? You pay the price that's required to redeem that from the pawnbroker. That means it belongs to you. You paid it. He's not going to come after you and say, he's already got the price tag right on there. He's a redemptive price. You see, Christ went to Calvary and paid the price. And God satisfied with what the price Christ paid. And he bought us with his own precious blood. That's what the word redemption means. That God bought us with the blood of Jesus Christ. We're redeemed not with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest for you in these last times. I told you the other night, I think it was, it's been blood all the way. It is blood before the world ever began. The everlasting covenant is a covenant of blood. It is blood in Genesis 3:21. It is blood in Genesis 4. It is blood in Exodus 12. It is blood at Calvary. It's blood now. And when you get to heaven, if you join in the song, Revelation 5:9, they sung a new song, saying, doubt whether to take the book, loose the seals thereof, and look on, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Campbellites wouldn't be happy if they got to go to heaven. They'd want to sing "There's Power in the Tub." And we sang "There's Power in the Blood." Amen. No power in that water. Now, if you're saved, you ought to get baptized.
Amen.
In fact, you can't be baptized unless you are saved. Because baptism's identification. You're not identified with him in death. You couldn't be identified with him in burial. Baptism is a burial, not a birth. Ain't that right? Somebody said, well, don't it say in John 3:5, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit? No, it does not. It says, except the man be born of water, not of the water, but of water and of the Spirit. Nicodemus thought his Jewish birth was enough. That's why Jesus said, that that's born of the flesh is flesh, that that's born of the Spirit is spirit. You was born of the flesh once, you've got to be born of the Spirit, be born again. If you never do get born again, the second time you'll have to die the second death. So if somebody buried you in water, don't birth you.
Right.
Well, he went right ahead to say that the birth is like the wind to blow it. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Jesus said, it's like the wind to blow it. Now, if it had been talking about water baptism, well, he'd have said immediately, come on, let me baptize you.
Yeah.
But he said, it's like the wind to blow. In other words, this wind in the Bible is a tip type of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So it's like the wind. You hear the sound thereof. Cast not fear once you come into the weather blow it. In other words, you can't control the wind. You have nothing to do with it. The wind's sovereign and it's moving. You can't command it to blow. You can't command it to not to blow. You better read that Bible. It's the breath of God. Now what that's to say is that the birth, the new birth, is of God. All of God. You can't command it to come. I have no right to tell a man or a person when he's born again or when he's not born again. He'll be the first one to know it when he gets born again. If I tell him, if he believes some verses of Scripture, he's saved. That's not so. Believing this Bible is not the new birth. This is a record. Now you have to believe the record God gave this son, but in order to get it inside, it'll take the Holy Spirit to put it inside of you. It's a birth. God works a miracle in you. Everybody look right up here just a minute. Have you ever been born again? Has God ever birthed into you Jesus Christ by the miracle of the moving of the Holy Spirit? Imparted new life? In your life, as old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. You don't still like the show, do you, in the theaters?
Come on, brother. Come on.
Don't you talk like a Christian, walk like a Christian, dress like a Christian, smell like a Christian?
No.
What kind of desires you got in your heart?
Yes. Amen.
When he gives you a new birth, he'll give you the desire for heavenly things and turn you against worldly things. No such thing in this Bible as you being born from heaven and not having heaven in your heart, heavenly desire.
Amen.
Oh, that's the truth, folks. I want you to believe that. You've been redeemed by the precious blood. And you're sanctified. That means set apart from the things of this world. And you don't love the world.
Amen.
How many of you are preaching that to you? I want just wait and see for sure if the Lord wanted me to. You know, you can't tell the difference in Baptist church members and worldlies today. You can't always tell the difference. All about life. Everybody likes about the same thing nowadays. Well, Paul, I wonder if Paul was living today, if the church crowd wouldn't stone him again. You know, really, the Christianity that's being offered today is a little old cheap religion that costs no sacrificing, no turning your back on sin, just what they call walking down the aisle asking Jesus to come in your heart. Ain't that about right? Who ever heard of that? Who ever heard of that? Where in the world did that come from? I mean, what time did Peter or Paul or Barnabas or John or anybody say, walk down the aisle and ask Jesus to come in your heart? In fact, they didn't even sing an invitation to him in Acts 2.
Right.
Paul was preaching, Peter was preaching in so much power that the Bible said they were pricked in the heart and gave their own invitation.
Amen.
They throwed up the white flag of surrender and said, sir, what must we do? Peter said, repent, every one of you. That'd been today in the 20th century in 1985. You know about what the preacher said? All you got to do is ask Jesus come in your heart.
Think about that. Yeah.
What God wants to do is break your heart with His word that you'll turn your back on your way and surrender to His way.
Yeah. Amen.
I've asked scores of people, and I'm not trying to be smart. Just ask my front back question. Now, you say, well, preacher, I don't know for sure, but I tell you what I've done. I asked Jesus to come in my heart, baby boy, that kind of. Now, I really don't know. My mama tells me I'm saved.
Yeah.
Amen.
And my grandpa said he remembered. He was there, you know. I had one woman, the fellow got away into his lost condition, and this woman, she said, "Oh, you don't need to go up." I said, "I remember when you got saved."
Oh, yeah.
Ain't that awful?
Yeah.
One fellow said, "Well, you preaching saved people lost." I said, "I hold that good preach saved people lost as lost people saved." Because my preaching won't get you lost if you're saved.
No, sir.
It may make you dig a little deeper, but you won't get lost. Nothing I can do or say will get you lost if you're saved.
Amen.
Well, let's go to the next point and then I'm through. I'm talking about the greatest question in the Bible. How can a man be justified with God? It takes repentance, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, and it takes being raised with Him. Ephesians 2:6, He raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When I think about that raise, that means we've been accepted in the Beloved. God accepts a person, no man. Only way God accepts me in heaven is in Christ. God accepts me in Christ. Ephesians 1:6, the Bible said it's to the praise and glory of His grace, when He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. He made us accepted in heaven. Our position is at the right hand of the throne of God in Christ, seated with Christ in God. Do you believe that? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ said from the right hand of God, set your affection on things above and all things above, for you are dead. That is, God judicially crucified you. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. That's how it's going to be in the moment of truth of life. We're up there in spirit, down here in body. Christ is up there in body, down here in spirit. When He leaves up there, we leave down here and meet down here.
Amen.
We have access. Now, in our pilgrimage here, if we've been raised with Christ, according to Ephesians 2:18, for through Him we both have access to God by one Spirit.
Yes.
We have access into God's throne room. We're told in Hebrews chapter 4, the last two verses, that this high priest was taken in all points, as we are yet without sin. On the basis of that, He said, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need." We have access into God's throne room through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you justified with God? Justified. If you're justified, you're sanctified. See what I'm saying? There's a desire in your heart to do right. You may not always do exactly right, but you always desire to. You have a heavenly desire inside. You're made with Paul of old to cry out, "Oh, wretched man that I am." The closer you get to God, the more you see wrong with yourself. And the more you see wrong with yourself, your heart's still mourning over sin. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's not a one-time deal. If you want to be, there's no comfort in this Bible, in this gospel, that to anyone that does not mourn. There's no comfort in words in this gospel if you won't mourn. One preacher told me, said, "Brother Mitchell, we throw our mourners bench away." I said, "You quit mourning first." Now, I believe more in the private mourners bench than I do the public mourners bench, but everybody listen to this and I'm through. If you're on your way to heaven, you're still mourning over your sins. The more you see wrong, you find yourself coming right on back again. "Lord, here I am again, this same old fella. Oh, wretched man, I meant to do right and didn't do it. I meant to be faithful and didn't do it. Lord, I thought the wrong thing and said the wrong thing and done the wrong thing and went the wrong way, Lord. And I confess," and you continually mourn over your sin. That Holy Spirit's in there. Every time you do wrong or think wrong, that Holy Spirit pricks within you and lets you know that you need to mourn. And when you mourn over your sin, God comforts you again and lets you know Christ is satisfied. He's the atonement for your sin. Only way we're going to heaven is because Christ is there for us now. I think we need sometimes, and I promise I'm quitting, but I think us Baptist people, preachers, need to need to explain why we believe in the security of the saints.
Amen.
Only reason we're secure is because you've got somebody in heaven for you and somebody from heaven in you. See, the problem of it is that this security has been so abused that people think if they've ever made a trip to a Baptist altar, they're saved regardless. That's not security. Security is God carrying His work on in your heart. That's perseverance, old saint God.
Amen. Glory.
That's what salvation is, God. And repentance and faith, not a one-time deal.
No, sir.
It's started by the Holy Spirit. Carried on by the Holy Spirit. You won't never repent and believe until you get in heaven. If you've ever mourned over your sin unto salvation, you'll mourn over them till it's completed.
Amen.
Salvation, the work of God. In your heart. Don't you think we need to preach that more?
Amen.
I tell you, folks, what we're seeing today is nothing but a sham.
Amen.
It's a sham.
Amen.
It's a sham. These folks think they're saved but never have shed one tear over their sins. They walk down the aisle chewing their blow gum, holding their sweetheart's hand, grinning from ear to ear, and the preacher now talk about it being fun to be Christians.
Oh,
I was in a revival a while back, and the fellow got up and said, son, Alan, he said, now we've had a lot of fun saying it. Said, we're on all now, settle down, take some preaching. You know, like you can twist it like a water faucet. You know, ain't that pitiful?
Yeah.
Really, what that's doing is deceiving. And being deceived. You take a fellow to deceive himself, he deceives everybody he touches. A man can only preach two things in reality. That's what he's experienced and what God's revealed to him. One fellow asked me a while back, said, why ain't folks preaching repentance today? I said, I never have experienced it. Anybody experienced repentance in his own heart wouldn't dare to tell nobody they're saved for that.
Right.
Repentance is you turning your back on sin, taking sides with God, and you just keep on repenting.
Yeah.
So I have people tell me all the time, they say, look what David done. I said, yeah, you ought to look in Psalm 51 what David done.
Yeah, see what done.
He kept on mourning over his sin.
Yeah.
See, a lot of folks just remember what David done, the sin he done, and stop there, but they need to read all them chapters that takes in his repentance. He just kept on mourning. What do you do when you sin? Have you mourned over your sins lately? One fellow said, I've not done nothing. I said, it's a sin not to do nothing. We ought to mourn over our sins of omission, over our sins of commission, over our wicked, evil thoughts, over our stubborn, rebellious way. Amen. We ought to mourn so the Lord would comfort us. Well, I'm through. Are you justified with God? Is your standing in Christ? Accepted in the beloved? Do you have the assurance in your heart tonight, the witness of the Holy Spirit, that you've passed from death unto life? May God help you as I pray. If you don't, I want you to come to this altar and get saved tonight. Let us bow our heads and pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we do thank you tonight for this service, and we thank you for each blessing that's been ours to enjoy.